This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, all, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm in the studio with the terrible twosome of...
Audrey Raj.
Arvini Raj.
And, of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
I'm staring out of a window right now, and it looks as though storms are going to be hitting over Bangsar very shortly, probably TTDI. So make sure you're buttoned up and you've got an umbrella if you've got one. If you've got one of those fancy sports convertibles, make sure you put the top up. There you go. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to get in touch with the show this afternoon, 018-789-8899 is a WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, get us as usual at BFM Radio. What did we talk about yesterday? What was it yesterday, Aud? Can you remember? Me neither. So now we're talking about body image, or we're talking about technology, in fact. But how that could have changed the way in which you perceive yourself. Now, the story that came out a few days ago was about how Instagram's plastic surgery filters are warping the way in which we see our faces. Mm. Big story, and they've banned some of these filters, but we're not just focusing on Instagram filters and Snapchat filters and all of that kind of stuff. We're looking at the way in which technology has interacted with your life and could have changed more than just the way you see yourself physically. We're talking about stuff like, has it made you feel more competitive if you are seeing what your peers are doing and perhaps they're doing better than you or not as good as you? You know, has it given you anxiety because you're constantly checking things? And, you know, has it changed the way in which you see yourself? That is our question for today. 018-789-8899 is the number. To get us via WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram at BFM Radio. We then have another story about how streaming services cut theatrical perks.
Mm-hmm. Some behind-the-scenes stuff.
There you go. And then Audrey will be telling us all about a smarter driver licensing test.
Yep.
Where's that at?
That is actually in India, surprisingly.
Oh, okay. Right. Let's start off with this story then. It was actually your story that you picked, right? Mm. And then I stole it off Audrey because, well, you know, I kind of like my Instagram filters a little bit. I've been using them a lot recently, you know, because you know why?
Hmm. Why?
You keep teasing me about my age and I need to feel young about myself.
Oh. It's our fault. He's into filters.
Yeah, peer pressure.
I deep hander eye myself, and, you know, remove the creases and things from my face. But no, genuinely, I think this is one of those things that it is a topic that we've spoken about a lot of times, you know, body image and one thing or another, and how it's kind of getting out of hand to a degree, to the point that Instagram have actually had to start banning some of the filters that appear on their platform. So plastic surgery filters have become an unavoidable part of Instagram. But of course, the ramifications of obsessively augmenting our faces are even more extreme than you might think. It all started with a pair of dog ears, of course, one of the first preset face filters to be added to Snapchat. The dog ears face filter would give users a pair of floppy dog ears, a broad nose, as well as an augmented reality tongue licking the screen whenever users open their mouth. But the filter wasn't really used in order to look like a puppy. It was used because the filter would actually slim your face, smooth your skin, and elongate your jaw, making anyone who used it look like a face-tuned version of themselves. So back in February, there were a whole bunch of predictions about filters that would be released over the next couple of years, over the next couple of months, and they would be glossy, metallic, and surreal. There is one out called Beauty 3000, if you haven't seen it. It's a very interesting... I've used it today, actually, on my Instagram post, just in case you need to check it out.
For research purposes, of course.
But essentially what it does, it looks like you have taken something like Vaseline and smeared it all over your face and then had a light focused on it. So it's that kind of soft, focused, I'm always looking perfect kind of look, according to
some
people.
You're glowing. All the time.
All the time. Mm. That's the idea behind it. And this kind of came back as the designer behind it wanted to create an anti-Instagram filter, kind of.
What is an anti-Instagram filter?
So the idea of, she kind of took the idea of how beautifying ourselves has become the norm and ramped it up to like, you know, 12, 13, 14. It's like, it makes you look ridiculously perfect. Mm. You know, your face is like this perfect glossy image that you would see in these ridiculous magazines and whatever. But it's not just that. I mean, there's stuff now where the author of this particular article had used one of these these plastic surgery filters, and it's pulled up her cheeks, it's tucked her nose up, it's, you know, tied in her chin, and she looks nothing like her original self if you were to look at this article. And, you know, there's even stuff like LV filters, which do a very similar thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of tuck in your cheeks and then stamp the LV logo all over your face. No idea why you'd like to do that.
Yeah. Because branding.
The branding and the Kardashians are even doing it. But the whole idea of not just the filtering, but as we said before, I think what it's done, rather than make me the way in which I perceive myself, I think it's affected the way in which other people perceive me. Mm. And I'll give you an example. Mm. Like when I go back home, and Christian also mentioned something along these lines earlier on today when we were talking about it, is when people look at the pictures we post on Instagram and the stories that we post on Instagram and our social media, it looks like we live to a degree a somewhat glamorous life. Mm. You know, we're meeting people here in the studio. We only work X amount of hours, and then we're eating at our favorite places, and we're doing all of these things. Of course, what people forget is that these are snapshots and are times when, you know, stuff we post things at a certain time. It's not like we're living in this, you know, parallel universe to everybody else. We have lives, and we have cats that run around and poop on the floor and do whatever they need to do. Of course, I don't Instagram that stuff, and maybe I should.
But you still have to clean it up.
But I still have to clean it up, you know. And so I don't have a perfect life. Nobody on Instagram or any form of social media has a perfect life.
Yeah.
Yet we are, and many people are falling into the trap of it. People do have these perfect lives.
Yeah.
You know? And especially the younger generation who are introduced to this at such an early age, they feel like, you know, from the get-go, they have to up the ante because that's how everyone is living today. That's how everyone looks today. And that is inaccurate, right?
Interesting point. Again, I spoke with Christine about this very similar point. And the fact is, I hate to say it, Auds, but people of a certain age, you know, grew up in a time when the internet was something that was coming into our lives, you know, and this technology was coming into our lives. So we had to learn how to deal with that. Whereas people of a younger age have only ever known this technology. So the way in which they perceive themselves has always been technologically oriented. So I think there's that kind of, there's an area that needs to be looked at and needs to be explored about when these two times kind of, you know, interact with one another.
But isn't this something that has been going on for like a long, long time, even before phones and stuff? Like think about mirrors and the way people used to sell mirrors, like even back in the day. Like when you went to buy one, or you went to buy like, let's say, one of those like whole vanity furniture sets, the more expensive ones would be the ones with the lights and the ones with a slightly curved mirror. It would have like a slight edge because you'd make the person who's looking in it look slimmer.
Yeah.
And then that one would sell more than the normal mirrors that made you look like you. But so people have been selling different images to consumers and customers for like a long, long, long time. The only difference is that now tech is able to do it like on the fly.
Yeah.
You just turn on an app, someone creates like a filter or some sort of algorithm that messes with your face, and then you pick up that product because you like the way it looks. There was one, I think I mentioned this before, like I went phone shopping like a few years ago, and then the phones on display in the store were all with the beauty filter on. So I was looking at different phones and the different cameras and testing them, and one of them was turned on to like a high, and it wasn't one of the higher end phones. And the moment I looked at it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm not this slim. Like there's something wrong with this phone. Either the camera. So I was like flipping it and going like, why is it so weird? Like why am I so fair? Why am I so slim? And then I turned off all the filters, and then it showed, you know, the
me like, ah! Yeah.
But then I was like, ah, there you are.
Yeah,
I recognize you. But so I think it's not just the social media or the tech or the filters. I think people have been looking for different versions of themselves for like a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's just easier to access now. I don't know. But mirrors, mainly mirrors, because I know for a fact that some mirror companies, people even sell these cosmetics, sell them with a different angle or slight bend or slight warp to them that make people look different.
The same for camera lenses, right? As well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
depending
yeah.
on which camera lens you use depends on how your face looks. And even in movies, they use this as a trick to make people look slimmer or bigger or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting topic, folks. And this is what we are talking about today. Has technology changed the way in which you perceive yourself? We're not just talking about physically, in all aspects. Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. We've got the Black Keys up next with Go here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Audrey Raj.
We're talking about whether or not technology has changed the way in which you perceive yourself. This comes off an article we found about how Instagram's plastic surgery filters are warping the way in which we see our faces. We thought we'd take that idea, expand upon it, and look at other ways in which technology has changed the way in which we perceive ourselves. Do we find ourselves feeling more competitive when we see other people doing well, whether or not it's via LinkedIn and the success of their business or their Facebook and how many kids and cars and houses they have? Because these are things that we would have known about in the past, but less so and slower. We would have found about them years later.
Way slower.
You know, you go home and visit your hometown or whatever, and you're like, oh, did you hear about such and such? You've done, you know.
But also the frequency, you know, you can actually see images of these people every single day, multiple times over, and it just makes you feel like this is really what their lives are like.
And sometimes, even to the point where I haven't seen somebody in 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and I will meet them again, and it's like we haven't spent any time apart because I know what you had for lunch yesterday.
Where they've been, what they've had. Everything about
the fact that they're having trouble paying their electricity bill or whatever.
Which is never on Instagram.
It's always on Facebook. So it's always that little rant, 2 or 3 paragraphs. We've all got one of those friends, you know. Anyway, if you want to keep the messages coming in, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 is, of course, the WhatsApp number. If you want to message us, Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Let's go over to WhatsApp with Auds.
Yeah, so this is one from Ro who just says, we are made to believe the lie our value is proportionate to our appearance.
There you go.
And then we have one from Ninja Sam on Twitter. I'm trying to condense the message. It basically says technology always makes us aware of ourselves better. And then Christine says, I've grown up with the internet and social media, and I often wonder if my self-esteem struggles would have been lessened in a time without them. So it hasn't changed the way I perceive myself, but my experience of social comparison definitely started early.
Interesting stuff. I've got a couple over on Insta Story. Thea, who says, yeah, it caused me anxiety. I'm sorry to hear about that, Thea. And then we got something from Natasha, who says, by reading a lot of science online, articles on YouTube, I've changed my mindset. It's funny, actually, because I was reading an article yesterday about The Matrix, when that was first released in 1997. A long time ago, right? But how they looked at the future and how they looked at how we would perceive ourselves and how we potentially are living in, obviously, some kind of matrix. And the more you look back at that and you look back at how things are nowadays, you know, there is some truth in what they're saying, you know.
Which is
a little scary, right?
With the AI and the algorithms and stuff.
We have a couple of, we have somebody actually that we managed to get hold of. Well, we didn't get hold of. It was on the Daily Digest not too long ago. And it was Dr. Chua Suk Ning, who is talking about no more diet posts on Instagram. This was back on the 23rd of September. And this is what they had to say.
So we know that Instagram particularly is associated with lower mental health. It does promote social comparison. Among its users, consumers are drawn to try to achieve the look that the celebrities are endorsing. Like, what does it actually mean to have a healthy body image? Part of it, I think the first thing is detaching your self-esteem from the way you look. You are worthwhile and you are valuable regardless of how you look, and I think that's sort of the first thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I understand what Dr. Chua is trying to say. It shouldn't all come down to the way you physically look, you know, but that is so difficult with social media today. I mean, for me, I feel like it doesn't promote body positivity. We've seen more plus size models come into the fray, and we've seen more diverse models come in, but it's still an aspiration to look like them
right.
in one way or another. If it's not the body shape, it is the makeup, it is the features. If it is not the features and everything else, then it's the clothes, it's the value of the clothes or
the
value of the lifestyle,
the,
you know.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Well, I understand. I mean, I prefer realistic posts, you know. I don't care whether you've got wrinkles, your hair is all over the place, you know, wherever you live, whatever car you drive. I think the beauty of social media is about the connection to reality. I think that's what it should be, and I think that's what we should be promoting. But I also have friends who are very, very, very aware about the minutiae of the stuff that they post on Instagram. Mm. And, you know, and they're so critical of posts that go on there that somebody that you and I would think that in real life should be posting regularly, and you know, you would imagine that, why are you not posting more often? You know, you have an interesting life, you're an attractive person. What? Oh, I don't like the way my arms look, or my clothes are not good enough. And you're right, Ords. You know, these little things, it's affected so many people, and it continues to affect people, especially when you have a company who are creating, you know, these filters that promote plastic surgery, you know, and you got aestheticians who have no problem advertising their services on Instagram. You know, they're being promoted on Instagram for a fee and whatever. And it's gotten to the point where maybe that once you've achieved a certain degree of success or a certain degree of followers or whatever, and you apply filters to your face, maybe you should have, you know, like they have for the sponsored by, this post has been filtered by XXX.
And it's not just filter. It's also these, now you've got like super photo editing tools that can actually help, you know, like face-tune yourself in your images. I was reading this blog, and it's called Evergreen Counseling, and this blogger actually said, when speaking about these filters and photo editing tools, this is what the person said. She said, as if there wasn't enough for us to worry about on the internet, now we have these filters telling us, you look all right, but let me completely reconfigure your face so it looks more aesthetically pleasing. Yep, here we are, trying so damn hard to combat nasty comments from others, work through negative self-talk and compete with the media's expectations of beauty, and now this, how will we ever win?
Other than, you know, how you perceive yourself, like with the filters you just mentioned, like physically, like purely physically, does, and this serious question, does social media ever make you aware of your age when you scroll past your feed?
No, Audrey does that on a regular basis for me.
No, but does it make
you aware of
stuff of your age?
I mean, it does. Stuff like references to pop culture, for example. When I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed or whatever, yes, people will be talking about, you know, Thundercats or the A-Team or whatever. And, you know, there's a certain
Don't try and make Thundercats and A-Team your time. That was time.
I said Thundercats on purpose because I was going to make a joke about the T-shirt you were wearing the other day. But you know, stuff like that makes me more aware. And the social group that I would belong to, where I still living in England, they're easily identifiable by their social media postings.
Their posts and stuff.
So you're saying that also kind of there's ageism involved as well?
Maybe. There's a gap. Because for me, I don't think social media has done stuff with the filters and all, because most of them look fake. And you can kind of spot filters. Like, you look at them long enough, you know, like, there's something wrong here. There's something off with this picture.
Those poles don't look straight.
Yeah, no. There's, you know, the gravity doesn't work this way. And, you know, stuff doesn't bend like that. But the age stuff, for me, it has, you know, being on Twitter and Instagram, sometimes I see a trend or like a new thing or somebody doing some phase that I'm not aware of. And then it sort of makes me aware of a generation gap that I did not notice before. Because you only start to notice generation gaps in your late 20s. Before that, you are the generation. So, you know, it doesn't matter. So that's a perk, I think, of being in your early 30s, is that you have like that burden removed. So that's a perception that social media has done personally for me. It's like, I don't have to care and I don't want to care once you're outside that age bracket. So I was wondering if, you know, for other people, it sort of makes them aware of where they are in life from an age perspective. Because you see people doing things that are so exclusive to a bracket or an age bracket that you know either you don't want to care or you don't need to care.
And give us an example.
I don't know any new thing that happens on social media that you don't have an understanding of.
TikTok.
Like TikTok. Okay, like TikTok. Yeah, so that's one.
The response to the boomer generation. Boomer's now becoming the trending hashtag, isn't it?
Yeah, I had no idea that's going on.
I was thinking when you were talking about this, I thought you were talking about like how we see younger CEOs today, and then it makes you feel like, you know, did we miss the boat? Yeah, you know, how come they're getting younger and they're just so much more advanced, and you know, that kind of comparison.
No, I was talking the other way around. It's like you see something that you don't understand, and then you realize that, okay, so you're slightly older than that generation. Like for me, it always, these things remind me that, oh, you know, I'm a millennial and I'm not the youngest, most annoying bracket on the internet anymore. There's a newer, younger,
not the
more
youngest,
annoying bracket.
But
yeah, with the slightly...
See, she's doing it to you now.
Yeah.
I'm a millennial too.
With the slightly older, annoying bracket on the internet. Right. But, you know, there's another group that has come and they are doing certain things. And you don't have the pressure to do the same things that they are doing. So you can just be your own... You can be your own annoying self without lending other people's trends and hashtags and stuff. So in that way, I feel that there is ageism, but I don't know if it's that's a good or bad thing, because personally for me it has been a good thing.
Okay. With that in mind, folks, we're going to take a short break. Let us know, though, has technology changed the way in which you perceive yourself? Let us know. It's not just a yes or no question. 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Let's have some music from REM with Orange Crush. When we come back, we'll be speaking about theatrical perks, how streaming service have cut those. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.